My name is Garland Robinson. I believe we're all aware that the vast majority of denominational churches today use mechanical instruments of music in worship. However, the Church of Christ does not use them. The Lord's people, that is, the Church of Christ, we're content with the original New Testament practice of congregational singing. As far as history records, mechanical instruments of music didn't have their introduction into any type of Christian worship until about 670 A.D. Even then, they were met with violent opposition. So that means that for well over 600 years, mechanical instruments of music were not used in worship. So it was man who introduced it. It wasn't God. And their use did not gain widespread acceptance for 1,000 years after the church was established in the first century. Friend, are you aware that there's not one shred of evidence in the Bible, from Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1 through Revelation 22 and verse 21, that it was ever commanded or that it was ever practiced, nor is it even implied? God specifies the kind of music He wants, and in every passage it is always singing. You never find playing. Since its first introduction in the 7th century, many since then have opposed its introduction and use in worship. It's interesting to note what some of these well-known religious reformers in centuries past have said on the subject. And even though I'm going to give you some of their words here, some quotes from these religious leaders, I want you to make clear and understand that mechanical instruments of music are not wrong because of what they said about it, or what I say about it, for that matter. But it's wrong, it's sinful, because it's not authorized in the Bible. The Bible gives no authority for them. Members of the Church of Christ are not alone in recognizing this basic Bible truth. So we're going to look at what several of these religious reformers have said, and note that we're not alone in opposing mechanical instruments of music. Some of these names you'll recognize right off. Perhaps some of them you will not recognize, but they are still quite well-known and renowned in their own circles. Adam Clark, he was recognized by many, still is, to be a distinguished Methodist scholar. And he made these comments concerning an Old Testament passage of Amos chapter 6 and verse 5. These can be found in his commentary, Clark's Commentary, volume 4, on page 684. He said, quote, "The use of such instruments of music in the Christian church is without the sanction and against the will of God, that they are subversive of the spirit of true devotion, and that they are sinful. I am an old man and an old minister, and I here declare that I never knew them productive of any good in the worship of God, and have had reason to believe that they were productive of much evil. Music as a science I esteem and admire, but instruments of music in the house of God I abominate and abhor. This is the abuse of music, and I here register my protest against all such corruptions in the worship of the author of Christianity." End quote. And then John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, said, quote, "I have no objection to instruments of music in our chapels, provided they are neither seen nor heard." End quote. And then another reformer, whose name was John Calvin. He's the founder of the Presbyterian Church. And in the commentary of his in Psalm 23, we read, "Musical instruments in celebrating the praises of God would be no more suitable than the burning of incense, the lighting up of lamps, and the restoration of other shadows of the law. The Papists, therefore, have foolishly borrowed this, as well as many other things, from the Jews." End quote. Here's another one. Charles H. Spurgeon. It is said that he preached to 20,000 people every Sunday for 20 years in the Metropolitan Baptist Tabernacle in London back in the 1800s. And during that entire period, mechanical instruments of music were never used in the services where he conducted. When asked why, he quoted 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 15, which reads, "I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also." Then he declared this, and I quote, "I would as soon pray to God with machinery as to sing to God with machinery," end quote. Martin Luther, the founder of the Lutheran Church, opposed the use of the mechanical instrument of music. In the Encyclopedia McClinic and Strong, Volume 6, page 762, he called the organ an ensign of Baal. An ensign is a flag, a banner, a sign, a signal, or badge. Luther called the organ a banner of idolatry, a sign or signal of sin. John Knox, a Presbyterian preacher, he called the organ a chest of whistles in McClinic and Strong, Volume 6, page 762. W.J. Conybeare and J.S. Hosson, both of the Church of England, commented on Ephesians 5:19 by saying, "Throughout the whole passage there is a contrast implied between the heathen and the Christian practice. When you meet, let your enjoyment consist not in fullness of wine, but in fullness of the Spirit. Let your songs be not the drinking songs of heathen feasts, but songs and hymns and their accompaniment, not music of the lyre, but the melody of the heart, while you sing them to the praise not of Bacchus or Venus, but of the Lord Jesus Christ," end quote. Here's another one. J.H. Garrison from the Christian Church said, and I quote, "There is no command in the New Testament, Greek or English, commanding the use of the instrument. Such a command would be entirely out of harmony with the New Testament," end quote. Then here's another distinguished Presbyterian scholar. His name was Lyman Coleman, and he said, "It is generally admitted that the primitive Christians employed no instrumental music in their Christian worship. Neither Ambrose nor Basil nor Chrysostom, in the noble economists which they severely pronounce upon music, make any mention of instrumental music. Basil condemns it as ministering only to the depraved passion of men. Musical accompaniments were gradually introduced, but can hardly be assigned to any period earlier than the 5th or 6th centuries. Organs were unknown in the church until the 8th or 9th century. Previous to this, they had their place in theater rather than in the church. They were never regarded with favor in the Eastern Church and were vehemently opposed in many places in the West," end quote. Here's a quote from Joseph Bingham. He was also of the Church of England. He said, "Music in the church is as ancient as the apostles, but instrumental music is not," end quote. John Gerardo, a Presbyterian professor, wrote that the church, and I quote, "although lapsing more and more into defection from the truth and into corruption of apostolic practice, had no instrumental music for 1,200 years," end quote. We also know that the Jews did not use mechanical instruments of music in the tabernacle in the synagogue, although it was used in the temple. Winford C. Douglas, in Church Music History and Practice, on page 15, states, "The synagogue music was an adoption without musical instruments of the temple music," end quote. It wasn't until 1815 in Berlin that the first instrument was introduced into the Jewish synagogue, and then it was with violent opposition by many of its members. The first use of it in America by Jews was in Charleston, South Carolina, in 1840. And there was bitter opposition to it, resulting in a court trial with the ultimate victory given to the instrument. Alexander Campbell wrote, "I presume to all spiritually minded Christians such would be as a cowbell in a concert. End quote. David Lipscomb wrote, "The church that adopts instrumental music goes into apostasy." End quote. Now, people may quibble and bicker over the use of instruments of music in worship and say that the practice must be acceptable to God if it comes from the heart, but the silence of a "thus saith the Lord" cannot be ignored. It's got to be remembered that the apostles were inspired. They were guided infallibly by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in teaching the will of God and showing the church how to worship. Bible history and secular history both bear out the fact that mechanical instruments of music were not used in the worship of God in the church. That point is insurmountable, and it's overwhelming. Regardless of what men may say about that verse, or this argument or that argument, the apostles were guided into all truth, according to John 16:13. However, they were not guided to use mechanical instruments of music. Therefore, their use is sinful since it stands without any inspired authority. They stand on nothing more than man's whim. They are plants that our Heavenly Father did not plant. And in the end, they shall be rooted up and cast into a furnace of fire, along with those who use, endorse, propagate, and defend them, according to Matthew chapter 15 and verse 13. Jesus clearly taught about the danger of man-made doctrine when he spoke to the religious leaders of his day. He said in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 9, "But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." So, the bottom line to all those things which we've discussed in this lesson is not that men have said this or said that. Men have no authority, though it's certainly worthy of listening to what they have to say, but only if we compare those things with the holy Word of God. So, the idea is, let's go back to the Bible. Let's make sure that we honor God by doing His will. Let's leave our feelings out of it. Let's leave our experience out of it. Let's leave our friends out of it. Let's just simply do what God has commanded to be done. And when you do that, you find that the Lord authorizes singing and making melody in your heart. That's the fruit of our lips from our vocal cords, but is not through mechanical instruments of music.